Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Tech to Go, a monthly fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists of the CPA Technology Advisor. These thought leaders tackle current technology issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
Hi, this is Darren Root, executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor. You are listening to episode 30 of Tech to Go. First, I would like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for today's podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about cell phone security and what the issues are around that. We're also going to talk about ACH payments as it relates to some security issues and also some added benefits and features. And then we'll also talk a little bit about the new iPhone that was just announced. So without further ado, I want to introduce my guest today. I have Renee Lassert. Renee is the CEO of Bill.com. Welcome, Renee.
It's great to be here, Darren. Thanks for having us again.
My pleasure. And also Dave McClure. Dave is the president of the U.S. Internet Industry Association. Dave, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I'm getting flooded out here in western Virginia with all the rain, but delighted to be here as always.
I imagine so. Randy Johnston will not be with us today. Randy, I think, is traveling the country. So, gentlemen, we're going to have to go it alone without the master.
It's going to be a tough task to follow. I'm sure he'll have plenty of advice next time for us.
I would imagine so. So, Dave, I'm going to start out with you. You and I have been talking a little bit about this. You've been telling me a little bit about cell phone security and a lot of issues related to that. Kind of lay the groundwork for us on that.
Sure. This is a real stealth issue. I mean, it's gotten not nearly enough play except in some of the investigative TV reports. But basically, here's the bottom line. Your cell phone is a two-way radio. Even when you think it's turned off, it's a two-way radio. And as phones have gotten more complex and they've become so predominant that really we're pretty casual with them. We'll lay down our phones on a desk anywhere, walk off and forget them, leave them at home, leave them in a taxi. And you add all that together and intro in Bluetooth, which is terribly insecure, and you've got the makings for a disaster. Here's the bottom line. You think your phone is off. You're sitting in a meeting discussing confidential client information like a merger, and you're being listened in on by the bad guys who are listening to the entire conversation or taping it for replay later. It's scary stuff.
So is what you're telling me, if my phone is sitting there off and I'm in a confidential meeting, the hacksters out there can hack in and still listen to that conversation somehow?
Absolutely. Now, they must have gotten at some point access to your phone to put a program on it to allow them to do that. But stop and think, Darren, how many times has the phone been out of your hand, laying on a desk where someone could slip something in? More importantly, do you ever use programs like instant messaging or email on your phone where they can send a file and slip this in via a rogue attachment? I think most of us, if we use smartphones, qualify for that.
Yeah, that seems like a big danger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm texting and emailing all day long. And, you know, the way our email works, you know, it kind of comes in, and then if it's not spammed out, you know, then I get to see it. And, you know, even if it is sort of filtered out, it hits my phone, and it could be doing almost anything.
Well, I guess one of the case in points here is when Obama came into the White House, he really wanted his BlackBerry, and there was a big to-do about that, right? They had a hard time getting it secure enough, and he had to go with some special device. And, Dave, you probably know all about that.
I know a little bit about it. You know, does your phone have a camera? They can turn the camera on and record voice and video from your camera, and you'll think the camera is off.
So, Dave, what are we to do about it?
Well, I think as an interim step, I would really recommend that if you're having a meeting about something so sensitive, tax consulting with your clients, audits, merger and acquisition, you simply say, gentlemen, check your cell phones at the door. You can get them back when you come out. I think that's the only safe and reasonable thing to do at this point until we can find some better security. And, you know, security is what it's all about.
So this is really about download something getting on your PDA, and it's almost like spyware, and running in the background.
Yes.
So are we going to, at some point, are we going to get, I mean, is there going to be some sort of spy bot software for our cell phones as well?
Oh, I think absolutely there has to be. Right now, unless you want to leave your cell phone out of a meeting, the only way you can be sure that it's off is to take the battery out and lay the battery out separately. The problem with that, of course, is that in many phones, that erases all your data. So once you walk out of the meeting, you have to go straight back to your office and resync it. So it's a thorny issue, but I think it's one that accounting firms in particular have to pay attention to.
Absolutely. I would think accounting firms, law firms, both would be subject to that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even, I mean, you guys, Renee, I mean, you guys are, you're in meetings out there developing software, doing all this stuff, you know, negotiating deals, and you got your cell phones laying right there.
Well,
same as us.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the example that that we're talking about is the scariest, but probably the easier thing to hack into is just listening to the conversations that you're having. So, you know, for example, you know, PayCycle, where I'm a board member, we just announced their deal that Intuit's acquiring it. You know, I had lots of board calls where I was on my cell phone talking about the terms of the deal and whether we should do it or not. And so that, you know, and you know, that's just, and all the board members are that way. And I think the ease of being able to listen to a conversation and sniff the email is probably even easier and more likely than just actually somebody be able to control the phone when you don't know it. Is that right, Dave? I'd be curious to understand your thoughts on that. I've always assumed that, at least.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the problem has gotten substantially worse in the last year. If you use a Bluetooth headset, I wouldn't talk business on it at all, ever. I mean, it's too easy to tap Bluetooth. Now, of course, they have to be close to you if they're tapping into your Bluetooth calls. But there are just too many tools out there. I went looking on the Internet, and it's interesting. There are two or three companies out there that you can buy the tools to do this. And they bill it as something, well, you know, you can record the conversations of your spouse as they're cheating on you. You know, but it's $130 to buy this software. And
wow.
I'm stunned.
Yeah, I mean, I think about all three of us spend a reasonable amount of time sitting in an airport waiting on planes with Bluetooth devices. And, yet, I mean, if I'm a crook, that's a logical place because those people are usually doing business while they're waiting.
Well, and airports, hotel lobbies have their own special problems because they're specifically being targeted by data thieves and by industrial spies.
Hmm.
If you have your headquarters in a city and you have people flying in and out of a certain hotel where, you know, you may have an agreement with the hotel to put your people up there, I can guarantee there's somebody sitting in that lobby who's trying to tap into you.
Well, help me understand that I have this wireless device I plug into my laptop, you know, to get my cellular service there. Same situation?
Sure. Same situation, of course. And of course, we've known for a long time that Wi-Fi is one of the most insecure protocols on Earth. In spite of everything they've done, it's too easy to trick you, too easy to hack. And now we're using what you referred to, this femtocell system, that you plug into your laptop when you've got Wi-Fi and it automatically comes back to you. Gosh, once you start adding that in, it becomes very, very tricky.
So I guess, you know, the moral of the story here is our listeners just need to be aware. It doesn't sound like there's a lot we can do about it, but we just need to be aware and be thoughtful.
Yeah, I'm not going to get goofy and paranoid about this thing. Frankly, if you listened in on my phone calls, you'd be bored to tears. But there may come a time and a place when you want to start looking at instituting some policies, just as no federal agency allows anyone to use Wi-Fi, I really think that sooner or later, most businesses and federal agencies are not going to let you use a cell phone inside a meeting.
That's interesting. So, well, good. Let's move on a minute then. We've talked, we're on security, so I guess we're not going to leave security right now, Renee. I know that Bill.com is in the process, if it hasn't already, launched the ability to do ACH payments. What I'd like for you to do is talk a little bit about just security as it relates to bank accounts and then this concept of ACH payments from a business and where this is going.
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy to talk about it. I think one of the things that folks don't realize is every time that you write a check and you send that check around, it's just kind of like what Dave's talking about with the phone. Anybody who touches that check has access and the information to get access to your bank account. Basically, the check has the routing number and the account number information on it, and anybody who intercepts that, either just for normal handling, the office manager at the vendor you're paying or the vendor you're paying or the mail person, any of those people now know your bank account. Everybody in your office whoever's preparing your checks knows your bank account. So that lack of security is actually one of the reasons I started Bill.com and, you know, forcing a way so that people could do online payments without having to actually disclose their bank account to anyone other than the people they've verified. So in our case, our customers, for example, they trust us. They tell us their bank account information. Nobody in the company ever knows that bank account information. It's only handled on the program when we make the payments. And all the checks that go out or all the electronic payments that go out go from our account, so the customer's bank account's never known. Well, when you're doing ACH in general, one of the risks out there is, again, it's like a check. You have to somehow get the money moved, and so you have to tell people either the account to take your money from, and so then you really have to think about, you know, whether you trust the person you're giving it to. And the services like Bill.com enable you to do this a lot more securely. So the example of the security is that our customers, you know, enter in their bank information. They get the information on their vendors for payment electronically, or the vendors enter it directly, depending on which method they want. And that allows us to, you know, basically move the money without anybody who doesn't need to know it actually doing it. So go ahead, Darren.
You know, I have a real-life horror story that I think I've mentioned to you before, but I'll go ahead and say it again for Dave's benefit and our audience. You know, we're an accounting firm, and we were paying clients' bills, and anytime you mail out a check, one time we had mailed out a check on a medical group, and we'd been mailing out checks on this medical group for a number of years, and we sent it down to a company in Atlanta that was a pharmaceutical company, but one of the employees that received the check knew that this doctor was spending a lot of money on oncology drugs. Well, he got the account number and the routing number, went to a store like Staples, bought some simple software, created a check that looked very similar, forged his signature, opened a bank account, and deposited it in there. And then he closed the bank account. Well, easily 40 grand was gone in an instant. Now, the good news of the story is the banks ended up making good on it, but somebody lost along the line there.
Well, and it took a lot of time for your client to get their money back, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
They assume you're guilty. It's actually not like the rest of the court system. You're assumed guilty, and you have to prove the innocence that this wasn't a real transaction. So it's a lot of work for you and for your clients to figure that out.
But all that had to happen was we just mailed a check. It's something that all three of us do every day. We just mailed a check to a vendor who had an employee who, you know, had different ideas.
Right.
So that happens all the time.
Right.
So I like some of the stuff that you guys are doing. And, you know, I pay most of my personal bills using my online bank account. Now, I don't mail out many checks. And as you know, we use Bill.com a lot to mail out our other checks. But you guys have recently added this ACH component. Tell me what benefit that is.
Yeah, so we're kind of in the beginning phases of, and it's in our beta phase now. We'll be going more general availability in July, and there'll be a lot more features that roll out over the summer with it. But basically, all of our customers can now pay any of their vendors electronically. And what that means is there's no checks going between anybody. We move the money from the customer's account into a sweep account that then goes right back out into the vendor's account. The value of doing it through a centralized sweep account is that, you know, ultimately, Our customers don't know their vendor's bank accounts, and the vendor does not know the customer's bank account. So nobody knows any of the bank account information, and yet they get paid electronically. Typically, if you were using online banking today, if you wanted to on your personal account, you could move money out electronically to any of the people that you wanted to, but then they would have to give you that banking information. And so your vendor would have to feel comfortable that they trusted you, Darren, with that information. You, Darren, you know, may not want to have that information because if something happened to that customer, they might come back to you. So the value that Bill.com is doing is by saying, you know, and this, the first version is not quite, you know, at this point, but by the time we get through the end of the summer, the vendors will put their information into a database that we have that we share across any of our customers, but it will not be bank account information that's shared. It'll just be the vendor name, and automatically the funds will move. And that becomes a lot more secure than what people are doing today, obviously with checks or with ACH.
You know, I know Dave oftentimes talks a lot about security when we're doing these, but Dave, I'm starting to become a believer. I mean, there's just so many ways if we don't stop and think about what we're doing for our information to get out.
Well, I've never had a good experience giving anyone else access to my bank account, even in the early days when you could set up an automatic debit program to pay your bills. It seemed like there were always complications and always problems, even when they weren't fraudulent. I'm just becoming more and more of the mind that I need to keep all my information as secure as I can.
Yeah. I think you're convincing me because I'm like you. I mean, once you give that information out, it seems like even if it's not for bad purposes, they keep taking money out of your account long past when you wanted them to.
Right. That's part of the value of Bill.com is that it's not your bank. You control all of those things, right? And it is secure. It is, you know, we have 256-bit encryption. There will definitely be customers out there, potential customers out there that will be very concerned about giving up their bank account information for a long time. But, you know, most of us are trying to move things online and move a little bit faster and have the efficiencies. And so then if you're going to do that, you definitely don't want to have in possession your vendors or your customers' bank account information because it puts you at risk, and you definitely don't want to be giving yours out to 20 different vendors. You know, give it to one person that has a SAS 70 like us or a bank that has procedures and protocols in place to measure, you know, any particular issues with the activity in the account. And those are the things you want to look for. And I think that's, you know, kind of related to this security topic is people are going to use phones. They're going to do online banking. You just have to be thoughtful about it, and you have to find a way to make sure that you're not giving out too much information, that you're just doing the bare minimum to actually make your life move forward with the internet world.
Yeah, good point. Well, I've got to confess to you guys, I became an iPhone adopter about 3 weeks ago. You know, I've been on BlackBerry for a long time, and about 3 weeks ago, I thought, well, I want to try this iPhone out. Yeah, I kind of thought it was a toy. Because my wife and kids had them, and I know we've talked about it on Tech2Go before, but man, am I happy with that. And I guess Apple, a couple of days ago, just announced the release of the new iPhone 3GS with 3.0 software on it. So, Renee, what do you know about that?
Well, so my wife has an iPhone, and I've been looking at it, and the only reason I haven't gone to it yet, and actually, you know, one of the things in this new one, is the keyboard. So, you know, they've now got the landscape keyboard, which is definitely going to make it a lot easier for people to do their emails. You know, I can sit there and I hear people joke about it, but I do hear people say, you know, kids today can type 60 words per minute on the BlackBerry with their thumbs. I think Brad Smith at Intuit said that in one of his features recently. And you know, I was measuring myself the other day, and I can probably type 50 to 60 words a minute on my BlackBerry, and I've tried on the iPhone. I haven't been able to. So now with this new keyboard being horizontal, my guess is I'll be able to type that fast. It's just a nice phone. And, you know, the thing that I love about the iPhone, I'd be curious, you know, now that you've had a few weeks, and I'm only using my wife every now and then, is obviously the apps, which we have talked about. But I love the Wi-Fi. I know we talked about security, you know, a little bit earlier on this topic. But it's nice to be home and to have our Wi-Fi at home. And it's browsing on the iPhone to do a quick little thing here or there on the web is just as easy as, you know, booting up the machine and going to a website. So if you just have a quick thing you want to check, it's a lot better than than a BlackBerry for that.
Yeah, the features that that I've seen that are coming out with this that are different are things like, as you mentioned, the ability to turn the phone horizontal and have a larger keyboard, which I think will be a benefit. You're going to be able to have a, I think there's going to be a zoom camera, a much better camera, and the ability to record video on the iPhone. And when you take a picture or you record video, you're going to be able to now send that in an MMS to somebody. And I've seen that in action. It looks really good. Other things like cutting and pasting. So if you need to cut something from a Word document and move it over to an email, you can do that and paste it. Several other nice features, but there's just so many nice apps out there. David, am I missing anything on the downside of security with these that's different than any other phone?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm a big fan of the iPhone. I rung it out when it first came out. I haven't looked at the new one yet, but I've kept pace with it. I went the other direction. I went with the BlackBerry Storm, which is also on the verge of releasing a new version. There are always problems with any new technology and with any phone. There are going to be things people don't like. Trust me, you are not going to love that horizontal keyboard nearly as much as you think you will, because it gets awkward to hold and awkward to use. And with all of these phones, you have a problem when you're an old geezer like me, of sometimes having to pull out your reading glasses to read the darn screen. They just have a limitation on them. But what I think is going to really make the second generation iPhone is 4G capability down the road.
When are we to anticipate that?
Well, it's actually going to – they'll start implementing sometime in 2010. And I think, you know, with the speeds that are going to be capable, 4G is going to make the iPhone truly a miniature computer in your hand. Today, 3G, still a little slow.
Yeah.
4G will be amazing.
And that's the point that I think that I've liked about the Wi-Fi. And I know other phones have it, but – when you're in your office or you're at home and there's a Wi-Fi connection that you trust and is secure and you can put your password in and all that, it's much faster, right? It's not 3G. You're on your own router. So, and it is fast. And that's why, you know, it's pretty slick. It's pretty cool to watch it develop.
Well, I've got to say, I've become a fan in the last few weeks. It's, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. And the ability to expand a screen, you know, just by swiping it, making it larger, even for an old geezer like you, Dave, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I would tend to agree.
Yeah, you gotta love the price too. I mean, they got it down to $99. So for people,
well, from what I understand, I was looking on the website, and I could be wrong about this, but they're going to sell the 3G at $99 and the new 3GS at $199.
Yeah.
So I think if you want the new one, it's $199 with a 2-year contract. And if you're just buying it, I think it's still up there like $600 or something.
So you're gonna swap yours out, go back to the
Well, here's the good news. The good news is I'm in my 30-day window, and I just make it. I think it's due to be released on the 18th or the 19th, and I'm still in my 30-day window, so I can pay a restocking fee and change.
Oh, good.
So the answer to that is yes, I think I am. But anyway, there's a lot more to come from that. One other topic I just want to mention briefly that we want to talk about next time, which I find to be really cool. So if you guys get a chance, do a little research in the meantime, is this Google's new Wave product that they just recently announced. There's a YouTube video out there under Google Wave, WAVE, and it's really kind of interesting. So next time we'll talk about the pros and cons of what Google's coming out with towards the end of this year. So, well, gentlemen, we're out of time today. I really appreciate you guys taking the time, and I think we made it through without Randy.
Imagine that.
Well, don't tell Randy that.
He may be listening to us here in a little bit. So who knows?
I'm sure he will. He'll download it before anybody else does, probably.
Absolutely. So, gentlemen, until next month, thank you very much. And again, I'd like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP.
Thank you, Darren. Take care, Darren.
Bye bye.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisor's other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.